Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast. Hey, Brad, I got a question for you. Do you shave?
Well, of course I do, Adam. I'm a man.
Me too. I'm a Russian Jew, and I've been shaving since I was 12. And recently, I've been trying to find the best quality and most amazing and affordable shave. Well, I found it. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer. And to prove how amazing their shave really is, right now, they're going to give you, that's right, you, your first month free when you join the club. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Michael Caine.
Hey, listen, everyone. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to my front door for a third of the price. Wait.
I can't do it in the Michael Caine accent. For a third of the price of what the greedy razor corporations charge you.
Hey, it's Tony Danza. And look, I also have no reason to deal with the drugstore hassle and battle the locked up razor fortress ever again. And neither will you when you join the Dollar Shave Club. All you gotta do, go to DollarShaveClub.com and pick a razor that works for you from their lineup of amazing blades. That's all there is to it. What about you, Jason Statham?
Well, I get a first-class shave whenever I use the Executive Blade. And when I use it, along with the Dr. Carver's Easy Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides for the smoothest shave ever.
Look, it's awesome, it's easy, and with Dollar Shave Club, you can look, smell, and shave like $1 million without paying for it.
And ladies, this is not just for guys. Dollar Shave Club is also for women. We know you shave too. You gotta shave your legs, your arms, maybe your mustache. Listen, we're not judging.
Not judging,
not
Grandma.
Judging. Not we're judging. We're glad you do it.
Shave it. We're glad you do it. Here's your chance to see why over 3 million members like me, Brad, Jason Statham, Michael Caine, Grandma with the mustache, all love Dollar Shave Club. It's so easy too, and they're so confident in the quality of all their products. Now you can get your first month of the club for free. For free. All you gotta do is pay shipping. And after that, it's just a few bucks a month. Just a couple of bucks. No long-term commitment. No hidden fees. There's really no reason not to do it. Can you think of a reason?
Nope.
That's right. There's no reason. That's why I said you can't think of one. Get yours at DollarShaveClub.com/lastnight to get your first month for free. That's DollarShaveClub.com/lastnight. And start living the smooth life, baby. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing wherever you get the podcast, your iPhone, Android device, Stitcher, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. If you haven't subscribed on iTunes and you're listening, do it right now. You got a few minutes before the episode starts. Subscribe on iTunes, click that fifth star on the iTunes page, and comment on the iTunes page with something you like about the podcast. Helps us climb the charts, and we appreciate all the support, all the tweets, all the emails. So many fun episodes recently, and a bunch coming up, but enough about those. Today's episode is a guy we've been trying to have on for quite some time. He's written for the ESPYs, the Emmys, the BET Awards, the MTV Movie Awards, House Husbands of Hollywood, which he co-created with Kevin Hart. He talks about hanging out with Obama, playing basketball with Michael Jordan, getting comedy advice from Bill Cosby. He's one of the greatest dudes in the game and one of the hardest working and smartest and most fun watch the comics. And I know that sounds like a big compliment, but it's true. I've been watching him since I started, and he's just one of the best and always inspiring, always so cool. And his name is Chris Spencer. That's right, baby. The one and only Chris Spencer making his ALN debut, much to the excitement of my buddy Colin Sullivan up in Seattle. Huge Chris Spencer fan. When he was down here visiting, met Chris and was freaking out. And so I know he's really pumped for this episode. Shout out to Colin and his son Chance, who's got the thumbs up game down. Talk about a kid with like just a lot of swagger already. Colin's kid is the shit. And he gives a thumbs up whenever you ask for it. And like that's really all you can ask for from a kid at that age. I think he's 2. Colin gives me shit because when he was like not even born, or I think when he was just born, I bought him Spider-Man shoes that like are for like a 4-year-old. So he was like, thanks a lot, man. So I guess in 4 years he can wear these? I was like, that's exactly right, dude. Some people give gifts for now. I give them for later. This episode's a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, so let's get right into it. Follow Chris on Twitter at TheChrisSpencer. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Alien Podcast, at Alien Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Brad Williams tour dates are available at bradwilliamscomedy.com. This weekend, he's at Levity Live in Oxnard. So go see Brad there. First time, new club, Oxnard, California. Get your tickets at levitylive.com. October 27th through the 30th, Brad Williams, Levity Live. Go see him. Adam Ray will be at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank this Friday and Saturday. My first time headlining Flappers in Burbank. It's a local L.A. show. If you live in L.A., come see me do an hour. October 28th and 29th, two shows each night. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. And then next I will be in Erie, Pennsylvania at Junior's Last Laugh, November 3rd through the 5th. So that's going to be a blast. First time there, Junior's Last Laugh in Erie, Pennsylvania, November 3rd through the 5th. Again, all tickets at adamraytv.com. A bunch of dates coming up after that. Utah, Vegas, Tempe, Arizona, Sacramento. Come see me live and bring your Alien merch. Hats, shirts, mugs, posters. You can get it all at estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com. Bring your shit. We'll sign it, take a pic, and you could be fan of the week and win some free merch. Huh? That's always exciting. Also, I have posted two new videos on my YouTube channel, also on Facebook. Please go to my YouTube page, AdamRay24 on YouTube, or on Facebook. But I posted one video that is a story that I had animated. It's a stand-up bit that is a story from the Adam Devine tour from last year called Beefaroni Sheets. It's a night that I had with Adam and Kyle Walsh and the Kings of Leon, and it went haywire. And I told the story on stage in Denver, Colorado at the Comedy Works. Had my buddy Tony animate it, and it's fucking unbelievable. So go look for it on YouTube or on my Facebook page. And also posted a video, a Trump video, a political, some commentary on what's going on that is... That it has been up since last week. And again, just search my YouTube channel, AdamRay24, or on Facebook or Twitter. And it's Piot Michael from Mad TV as Trump, Carly Craig as my girlfriend, and myself as Trump's roommate. It's silly. It's hilarious. Go watch it. So many great episodes coming up. Really pumped about some of the guests that we're traveling to go record. So stay subscribed. Stay up. Stay lit. Stay pumped, and now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles, that's the merch info, and now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the great Chris Spencer.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
Nah, but my girlfriend lives with me.
We live together. She lives with you. I mean, she don't pay
no rent. Hey, all I know is she came home. She had a few hours in between shifts, and she came home and made me waffles at like 2 o'clock. So. I'm happy.
PM or AM?
What's that? PM.
Okay.
PM.
Say shift. She's a dancer. Oh.
Yeah, you know, she came in at 2 a.m.
AM waffles, yeah.
She smelled like various perfumes and colognes and had way too much glitter on her, but, you know, she my baby.
Now, Brad always throws at me that, like, having a girl that cooks is, like, you know, kind of the deal maker for him.
Oh, yeah.
Is that... Yeah?
Absolutely.
You can attest?
You have to. Yeah, because first of all, food going out gets expensive.
Yeah.
But when you come home angry and you smell some shit, you're like, okay.
We're that simple as dudes, aren't we?
Cavemen.
Fuck.
Yeah. It, I mean,
a bad set, a shitty day, whatever. Like, you smell a little marinara or whatever it is, some salmon, some fucking. Dude, I'm as easy as like SpaghettiOs. You made those for me?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Am I right?
It's so. I would love to think that I'm more complicated than that. I would love to think that it's, oh, I would like to have fancy conversations about art and politics.
Even if you walked in and she gave you a bowl of Cheerios, you like said, I'm still cooking here. You'd be like, you know what? You thought of me.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to be thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Shit. Yes.
Yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
You post a lot of pics that of you and your wife.
Yeah.
Doing dope shit. You guys seem like, and you use the hashtag love my life.
Love my life, yeah.
And
yeah.
then, and when you post pictures of you and Obama and Will Smith, yeah, man, I fucking love my life too.
I'm pretty fortunate.
And your kids are dope. Slow-mo videos of them dunking and shit.
Did you see the one yesterday?
Dude, what the fuck, man?
He was just doing that. He was, I was at a gym working out, and there were some little kids in the little foyer. And he goes, Daddy, watch this. And he jumped over a kid and dunked on a Nerf hoop. I go, I got a videotape. Videotape, that's how old I am. I have to capture that on IG.
I gotta pull out this shoulder-mounted camera. Yes. And how great is it that those moments can just happen now?
And live forever.
Where, yeah, and now that's, because before, like I said, like when I say shoulder-mounted, for the kids that are listening, that's what you had.
A huge camera.
It like now, if you showed up to the airport with one of these things, they would think it was like an RPG launcher.
Yeah.
Or like
absolutely
something like that.
So we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting picked. My kid is coming off the airplane and you want to shoot him? I don't think so.
Please exit. No, I'm just trying to shoot the kid. That's what we're trying to prevent. I'm trying to prevent that from happening. That's Norm. That's our
social media guy. Now I know how you guys feel when black people just walk up. Norm just walked in and scared the shit out of me.
And he's Norm and he's from Baltimore too. So,
oh God,
so he hard. that's why he's so quiet, because he knows.
Yes.
Yeah, he hard. How'd that feel coming out of your mouth, Brad?
That was just for me and Norm.
Totally legit.
That was for me and Norm.
So I'm pretty sure that I'm in the community now, right?
Absolutely. Like
okay. Because I said he hard in a sentence. Well, is that
your ghetto pass gets another stamp for 2017?
We talked about that with Dion Cole when he came on about
he's the greatest, isn't he?
The best.
Yeah,
the greatest. And about like adjusting the first time we did like an all black room. Like the first time I hosted for Sinbad in Ontario.
Wow.
This was maybe like 3 years into stand up, and I just unconsciously went up there and went like, how y'all feeling tonight? And then I kind of heard myself do it, but right. I think I was so like just soaked up whatever the vibe in the room was that I was like, nah, that's they wanted that.
Right.
And then afterwards, I remember just some maybe 6'7" cool ass black dude with the limp was like, he's like, hey man, you funny shit, man. He goes, what was that shit up top though, man? You trying to like be black and shit? He's like, you don't need to do that, man. Just be funny. And I was like, oh shit, okay. Thanks, fucking comedy, you know, black genius, man. Like, he was just, it was, you know, we do that. Brad's
same,
done it too.
Same thing. First time I performed in front of a black audience.
Where were you?
I was at the Ontario Improv, and that was their black night. And I tried to pander. Like it feels wrong when I even tell the story.
Don't
like
listen.
Oh, because
Norm,
he's like,
Norm, you here?
Yeah. He's like, nah, let me see a wiggle on the line, worm. You know, but yeah, I just like walked up and like, yo, what's up? We ready to party? We ready to dance tonight? And then like I told the DJ to throw in some hip hop, and then I started dancing and just blank
really?
Faces.
They didn't even respond to you dance?
Because
usually
like
a white dude dancing is a laugh.
Yeah.
Unless you can really dance.
Well, Brad can really dance.
Yeah, I can.
Then I fucked it up. You
exactly.
have to pretend like you can't dance so we can laugh at you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And
if you're really dancing well, we think you're mocking us.
Right. See, like, that's the thing. It's kind of like if you've ever seen the movie Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.'s speech, you never go full retard. Which is like you never go like full. Holy. It's like mock. So yeah, because I was like, I'm gonna dance for real.
Right.
They're gonna see how good I am. Then they'll throw me up on their shoulders and take me to meet Eddie Murphy. Like that. Like that's what I thought was gonna happen.
Did not.
Oh, bomb.
The whole set was a bomb.
Oh, the whole set. After that, done.
Nothing.
I'm out. Done. That was.
Did you sing no Negro spirituals or nothing?
I mean, they were singing it because they had just witnessed a death, and then I had the older black woman run up and throw her body on the stage like, don't take him, Lord, don't take him, he's too young, Lord.
Now, if you would have said that, they would have laughed.
Like, see, that would have been funny.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Orange County. I'm whiter than Wonder Bread, dude.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm white.
I'm from Inglewood.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Inglewood.
You've been out here the whole time?
The whole time.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
How do you go from there to...
So I go from Inglewood in 10th grade. We moved to South Pasadena. My South Pasadena friends get mad when I say Pasadena.
Sure.
We moved to South Pasadena, which is totally different.
Because it's different. Hey, North Orange County and South Orange County is different.
Right.
North Orange County, Newport Beach.
Yes.
Sorry. South Orange County, Newport Beach, Laguna Beach.
Oh,
yeah. North Orange County is like, yo, man, that's like La Habra.
Right.
What's Pasadena, South Pasadena separation.
Pasadena, South Pasadena, at least when I was growing up, was more Pretty Lily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very Asian and Lily now. Mm-hmm. Pasadena is a huge, huge melting pot of everything. And but they definitely let you know that you're from South Pasadena. Not, they're just two different districts.
Yeah.
And then I went to UCLA. Never left LA. I went to UCLA, and then started doing stand-up at the Laugh Factory and then the Comedy Store and all the same places you guys have.
Fuck.
And I've never left. And I've never lived anywhere else for more than 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, vacation here, a movie there, but I've never lived anywhere but LA.
Is that how you like it? I mean, when you got into this, did you have the kind of realization of like, oh, I want to do something that's going to allow me to move around a lot, or did that just come with the territory?
You know, I would turn down jobs that made me move.
Yeah.
Because I really love LA.
Yeah.
I like it here.
So, I mean, diehard Lakers fan from the get-go. I mean,
if I piss right now, it'd be purple.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's because you're a Laker fan.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's got to be bananas because you're homies with Magic.
Yes.
So, when that came to be finally and there was like a friendship, like the day.
It's so weird. I'm friends with all of these guys.
Yeah, dude.
Too late. Like, I wanted to be friends with Magic and Eddie in the 80s.
Right.
Oh, now I'm friends with these dudes in their 50s and 60s, and they don't do shit no more.
Yeah, they don't want to party anymore.
I want to be at the fucking Roxbury with Eddie and Arsenio. Now I'm their friend, and they don't even text.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? I saw some article in one of the celebrity magazines where it was just like, and the title of the article was, "All Eddie Murphy Does Is Go Down the Hill to Get Coffee."
That's true. I see him all the time, too.
And it just shows him with his girl just like getting coffee every day. And it's like, Eddie, you don't have a machine up in your house? Or
he probably does. It's just getting out of the house.
Yeah,
right?
Get out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get out of the house sometime. I'm sure that's not all he does.
Sure.
But he's a regular at some of the coffee spots in the neighborhood.
What was it like seeing Showtime Lakers? I mean, live. And
insane.
I mean.
Insane. First of all, I'm so L.A. Inglewood. My high school graduation, my junior high school graduation was at the Forum.
Oh my God.
No shit.
We graduated from the Forum. Magic used to date my, Pee Wee basketball, whatever you call it, YMCA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our coach was Magic's girlfriend.
What?
So,
damn.
We would always just miss him. Where is he? There he is right there. No, Magic! Why you couldn't wait to kiss him in front of us?
Prove it!
She could have been lying. It could have been, James Worthy or something driving by, but still, it was a Laker for sure.
Wow.
It was a very large guy.
So, yeah, insane.
And then you wanted to go to UCLA to do writing, acting?
I wanted to act.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I majored in sociology so I can give my mom something.
Yeah.
But, as soon as I got there, I was doing student films and itty-bitty plays. And
stand-up on campus?
Stand-up on campus. Sully McCullough.
Oh, yeah.
We had a comedy club.
Uh-huh.
There were some pretty funny guys. Actually, they became big writers. I don't know if you guys know Fred Tatasciore.
Yeah?
Yep. Fred was there, and another guy, I forgot his name. He's like a huge producer on The Simpsons and all those shows.
James L. Brooks? I don't know.
Yes.
No. Really?
No,
I don't know.
we cut our teeth performing in front of the fraternity, the fraternity's doing Rush Week.
Yeah.
So they would have their, their Rush Week, and they would bring on their, the incoming guys, and then we would do comedy shows for them and all the girls.
How would they go? How would you? I mean, I feel like I've seen you as long as I've been doing it, which is 9 years, and you're always crush. You've got an ease to you, which I feel like you had from the get-go.
I have an ease.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't you think?
I don't know what people mean. I mean, I guess I've been doing this shit 30 years. I better be comfortable by now.
by now, for sure. Right. Yeah, but I mean, like, when you started, I feel like, obviously it takes a minute to get your point of view and your writing to.
Yeah, I was comfortable early.
Yeah.
I guess because I was always, I don't know if all of us were all class clowns, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was a commissioner of assemblies in high school.
Oh, shit.
And so I did a lot of public speaking.
I've always
been in front of people. And so,
just like a getting on stage logical transition.
Yes.
Would you make the assemblies and stuff funny?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my first act I actually stole from
Eddie Murphy Raw.
Nope.
Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Bob Saget.
Oh, yeah.
Saget, yes. Oh, and they thought I was a genius. I stole from Bob Saget.
Wait, like the young comedian special Bob Saget?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Nobody had seen it yet. Only a couple people had HBO in South Pass.
Yeah. Yeah, because
only joke. I'm
HBO
I'm
wasn't.
I'm not selfing my girl. That's because she's this tall.
Yeah,
That was one joke I stole. There was another one. I stole two jokes, and they thought I was a genius.
People went nuts, yeah. And then you're like, oh, this comedy shit's easy.
Yeah. No, I didn't even think about comedy. I just knew I had to entertain these savages assembly.
Right.
So I wasn't really stealing yet because I wasn't doing comedy. Yeah. I borrowed his jokes and I gave them back.
You weren't,
and I gave them back.
You weren't being paid for it.
No, no.
It, school assembly, okay.
Yes.
That's fine.
No.
But
not Laugh Factory.
I mean, did you think at all during that time that that would be something that you would get into as a job? Or
no. What happened was, so that's high school.
Yeah.
Then I go to junior college 2 years. Then I transfer to UCLA. And then I go to summer school. And that's where I met Sully.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking to a bunch of girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, Sully, what do you want to do? He goes, well, I want to be a stand-up comedian. And the girls went crazy. Oh, my God, I love comedy. My favorite person is Richard Pryor. And I love Jerry Seinfeld and George Carlin. Mm. And they look at me and they go, what about you? I was like, stand-up comedian. Like that. Like, I've never thought about it until Sully said it in front of these girls.
What?
I saw how excited they got.
Are you serious?
I go, I'm just as funny as this motherfucker. Yes. Stand-up comedian.
Wow. Yeah. So, if Sully...
And that started it.
If Sully would have said, I'm a male porn star, and then the girls went nuts for that, you'd be like, all right.
I'd be James Bondage. 0069.
That's a great name. You might actually want to consider that based on the name.
Sure. Fallback crew. Why
wow.
Not? But damn. That's insane.
And then you're just like, now I need to figure out how to
I gotta back it
actually
up.
Do that or...
No, and then all of a sudden, so we started doing the stuff with the frats.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then we did open mic. Actually, we came to do open mic at the Laugh Factory. This is the Laugh Factory, the way it looks now, looks nothing the way it used to look.
Really?
Yeah. And we stood in line. Sully got picked. He went in. Jamie Masada wouldn't even let me in to watch him.
What?
Yeah, sorry, buddy. and then my first time was actually at the Comedy Store.
Okay.
Where we had to put our names in a hat. I figured we'd wait all night.
Like, and then like the next week you get, or like if you get picked, you perform the next week, right?
No, I think then you went there at like 4 o'clock and then you would perform at like 8.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's how it is now, yeah.
Yeah. And so I got on there and then I did well. And then Mitzi, I auditioned for Mitzi like I think 96 times.
Wow.
And never passed.
Wow.
Damn.
Yep. How did
96.
How do you handle
it? No, I'm not 96 times. I'm joking.
But like
a lot.
Like 7 or 8 times.
Enough to where you're like, is this going to happen or should I pick another career?
I just started doing another room. I started doing the improv and then I became an improv snob.
Yeah.
Because the improv guys don't like the Comedy Store guys. And so I was a writer. People at the Comedy Store, they're wacky and they don't write jokes.
Yeah, who was going up there?
It was Sam Kinison, Eddie Griffin, and Dice Clay. So they were characters at the Comedy Store. So I felt I'm over here with Seinfeld and who else was hot? Bill Maher,
Rick Overton,
Rick Dukeman.
Ooh,
wow!
George Wallace, Paul Reiser.
Yeah,
right.
So I was in with all these dudes who were like pen to paper guys, which I felt I was. But I wish I would have been at the Comedy Store earlier because you learn to perform at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like those guys perform.
Yeah.
Mitzi had a knack for plucking natural performers.
Yeah,
really...
they were very physical. Mm-hmm. Like they would, like Damon Wayans taught me to say the joke and then show the joke.
Yep.
And that's what they do at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
As opposed to the improv, they would be happy with their monologist.
Yeah.
Right. They're
waiting for Carson.
Yes. I feel like a lot of the comics that are of that type, they're just as happy with an applause for good writing as they are with a laugh.
So let me tell you how I started doing more black rooms.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you guys know Alex Thomas.
Yep.
Yeah. Daryl Heath. You remember Heath?
Yeah.
So I started doing the black rooms with them. I used to go over there, to Comedy Egg Theater with Robin Harris.
Yeah.
And J. Anthony Brown used to do the Fun House, which is the Mavericks flat on Crenshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go down there and... people come up to me and go, nice set. Mm-hmm. And they go to Daryl and Alec go, you are a fool. You stupid. You ignorant. And I was like, I want to be stupid and ignorant. Like, no pimp should be telling me nice set. You know what I mean? So I figured I needed to change my act up and start doing more rooms like the Comedy Store or more rooms like these hood rooms.
Yeah.
Not necessarily hood rooms, but more urban rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, you make those conscious decisions. And I'm sure there have been people that go the other way. Like they start off with the sort of exaggeratedly large characters, and then they don't necessarily like the reaction they get, and they see other guys that are more pen to paper guys, and they go, that's kind of cool. And they they all meet somewhere in the middle and find
a lot of them,
medium.
Started off in a room that was the only room they can get up in. And then when their experience allowed them to try other rooms, then they found out, I'm more of this kind of a comedian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These are the more of the kind of guys I fall in line with.
What, so you were attracted to more the pen to paper guys. Like
I was at first. I just felt that's who I was supposed to be because Sully was a pen to paper guy.
Yeah.
He was managed by George Shapiro, who had Seinfeld
right.
and Mario Joyner and George Lopez. So I was like, I am a comedian.
were there guys that you bonded with when you started to, I mean, you mentioned Alex and
Daryl. Damon yeah. Wayans took me under his wing early. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always did both rooms. I was on the Redneck Tour with Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh shit!
As well as I was honorary brown neck on the Redneck Tour before there was, before Blue Collar and Larry yeah. and all these other people.
How was that?
Me and Jeff. It was a great experience.
You right. need that road experience early, don't you?
What? Yeah, but I was spoiled because yeah. Jeff had me in theaters and
yeah.
the Ritz-Carlton. And then I never ever did the road like how you guys have done the road and comedy condos and fucking waitresses and shit. Like, I never fucked the waitress.
You never fucked the waitress?
I fucked the concierge.
Oh, damn. Well done, sir.
Sorry, I need more laughter. Yeah. Shit.
I didn't fuck hoes. I fucked escorts. Like, wow. It was.
These are Craigslist bitches.
Dude, I mean, yeah, Foxworthy just, I mean, drew and had, I mean, one of those guys who just had a fan base that was coming to see
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so they're books.
Yes.
He had, like, all different types of different redneck products.
Which is strange when you're like, I'm the redneck comic. I'm gonna write books like that. Like
that's hilarious.
That takes. Some,
and I'm gonna have a black guy
stones.
Open for me.
I'm gonna do everything rednecks hate.
Yes.
Yeah.
books, and black people.
I remember
the two B's.
That's funny. I remember I went to do a show one time, and this guy came up to me and goes, "Hey, you were funny, black comedian." I was like, "Thanks, white cowboy." Swear to God.
Wow.
Now, how do you even get hooked up with Foxworthy?
JP Williams over at Parallel Entertainment is my manager, and he also used to manage Jeff Foxworthy.
Paired you together.
I would have loved to have been in that room where he goes, Jeff. All right, I got an idea for the tour.
He's like, "What? My dad won't come." here's my first joke.
Yeah,
I said, people keep asking. Oh God. Asking, are the people out there racist? I go, no. People keep asking me when I'm on this tour, is there anybody out there racist? I go, no. But there was this one guy, I think he was racist, but I can't just fully call him racist. Well, he goes, well, how'd you know? I said, whenever we play Monopoly, whenever I would land on his property, he would move. Thank you.
That's hysterical.
That's a great pen to paper. Like, that's a clever.
See, I was a clever guy.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be collegiate. That's what happened to Damon told me I was very collegiate. I'm like, fuck that. I want to be funny.
Yeah.
Damon is I feel like he's how he is now when he was back then, the way he would, like, when I met him at the haha and then would start to like stay after and shoot the shit with him.
That's
and then he came up to me and started tagging some of my jokes, and then I would do it with him, and then like four or five nights in a row we were there at the same time, and I would stick around and he would always say what up and remember my name right away. Yep. And then him and me and Vinny O'Shaughnessy would just like riff and tag each other's shit for like a half hour outside and then talk about sports and then peace out.
Yep.
And like, and Living SNL was always like big for me, but In Living Color was
it.
That was it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but I feel like he's been that way always. Yeah.
He was, I've never seen anybody bar none work out better than Damon Wayans. Like,
yeah.
To try new stuff and experiment and
so
go
fearless.
There and dark. Oh my, I've never seen.
And I love the fact that he's still like now, like you'll be at Flappers in Burbank on a Monday or a Tuesday, and yeah. Damon just pops in, and I feel like I'm the guy because like when I go to cities like Des Moines, sometimes I'm eating at a diner and someone goes, "Why are you here?" And it's like, I don't know, check clears, so that's right. Why I'm here. I'm like that when Damon shows up to Flappers in Burbank. I'm like, why are you here? Like, you're Damon Wayans. And then he's like, yeah, but I got to get better.
So he was a guy you said that said, you know, say the joke, then show it.
Yes.
Were there other guys just along the way that have thrown? I mean, now that you're working with so many people, I'm sure you just pick up little tidbits here and there.
You know, Damon was always, do you remember Reggie McFadden?
Yeah.
He was another very, very physical comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He was a genius to me. Daryl Heath is probably one of my favorite comedians of all time, and he was very physical. So I'm not as physical as these guys,
yeah.
But I've come to use my wit and try to at least show the joke as best I can.
Yeah.
And I'm still to this day trying to. We always say leaving meat on the bone. So sometimes you say a joke and then you end the joke too quick.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to further the joke.
Yeah.
Like Earthquake does or JB Smoove does.
Dude, they leave nothing left on that premise.
Yeah.
Nothing. To where you say, well, you could have added what?
No.
No, you said that. You could have been.
No, no.
Yeah, I like guys who milk it.
Yeah.
Wait, so then what is your – I want to know what your writing process is different from stand-up for writing. Because head writer for Wild and Out and Real House Husbands of Hollywood, right?
No House, just Real Husbands of
Real Husbands, and I mean, other shit, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, so
– all the award shows from – I've done the ESPYs, I've done MTV Awards, Jesus. I've done the Emmys, I did the Miss USA pageant last year.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
Matter of fact, anytime you see a black host, just know I'm in the office somewhere.
That's kind of incredible.
If you see Wayne Brady or LL Cool J, yes. Chris Spencer is right behind.
Yo, but that's kind of, once that started to become known, that's right. Got to be dope,
yeah,
right?
Let me tell you, it's cool and then it's not cool. Because mm-hmm. I'm too cute for radio. Just as you guys are, yeah. Like, we want to be in front of the camera.
Yeah, this is a good looking, this is a very fuckable table, right?
Yeah. Yes, everybody here.
Very fuckable. You too, Norm.
Can fuck
you're
concierge.
At the chair, doesn't mean you can't be at the table.
Yeah.
We can hit chicks in the concierge. So, it's rewarding knowing that my kids are in private school and that these jokes are working.
Yep. Yeah.
But I want to be out there.
Yeah.
I'm a performer first.
Yeah.
So, and it's always awkward when all of a sudden these guys just kill Anthony Anderson. He does the BET Awards. He does mm-hmm. the Image Awards. And people are like, oh, my God, you're incredible. I want to take a picture. And then they give me the camera to take a picture with Anthony.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you're like if you like, only knew.
Bitch, I was part of that.
Yeah.
We all should be in the picture.
But now, yeah. do you
but I understand. This is No.
But people know that by
this
now.
This is it. This is, you know, yeah. You're on the team. With
yeah, you weren't going to turn down all those writing jobs.
Absolutely
because,
not.
Yeah.
I'm going to start this year, though.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's funny, and I know this guy told me 10 years, 6-7 years ago, and his name is taboo now, but as a comedian, we all respect him. I told Bill Cosby this before. Mm-hmm.
What?
I said, Cosby, I said, listen, I'm so tired of writing for people. What should I do? You know what he said? Stop writing for people.
It's been very simple advice.
Just like the doc, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So I haven't had the opportunity to do that yet, all the way. But
yeah.
I'm starting to next. I mean, I've been cutting off. Like I haven't everything I've asked. I'm not writing for. Like I say a ridiculous number, and mm-hmm. if they come back, I do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So well, I feel that's the point we all want to get to in our careers, and all like at varying degrees we get there. Like now, Adam and I don't go back and do whatever bar shows that we used to do when we were. Coming up,
right.
But if the guy says I'll pay you $500, like, yeah,
that's my favorite bar.
Yeah, all right.
Actually, I don't know. I still do. Well, Chris and I just did the Dime Bar on Fairfax.
But that's our friend.
Yeah, you're that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know what? That's sometimes those places are fun.
Yeah,
you get to work out stuff. You
I will never. I at least I hope will never not do those rooms because yeah. I feel like that.
Look at Damon at Flappers. David.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lethal Weapon aired that night. He was at Flappers. You
that's
know what I mean?
Crazy.
So we love stand. Let me tell you how much we love stand up. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm at Caroline's before kids and marriage. So Caroline, maybe I guess 10 or 12 years ago.
Okay.
12 years ago, 12 or 13 years ago. And Jeff Garland, I'm doing the 10 o'clock and he's doing the 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Robin Williams comes in.
What?
Jeff Garland's on stage. I just finished my show. And we talked to comics were coming from out of the walls like roaches. Like, you weren't here. And we talked to Robin Williams for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And the motherfucker acted like he had the same amount of money as us. We talked, we laughed,
I love that.
We joked, he told stories, Richard Pryor, Mitzi, and he acted like he wanted to be there with us.
Yeah.
Because he did.
He did. And then he went on stage and murdered.
Oh my God.
Murdered.
That's also an extra level of just comfort too, like, because I know sometimes if I don't know. I always still like to have a little bit of nerves going on for every set.
Right.
And sometimes I can't shoot the shit for too long. I like to have a little bit of downtime and to collect myself. So to just like be that free to chat everybody up.
But listen, when you walk on stage and it's
yeah, you're right. You're gonna you're gonna adjust.
We're
yeah.
different. It's like Adam Ray. I think I saw him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I
heard the
guy
with the accent. Was that him or Antonio Banderas?
Yes.
Thank you for making that connection.
But you know what? It's true in that I'm always more comfortable. Like there's times when I just go to the improv, I go to the store, and I don't have a set. I don't plan on going on stage. I just go just to hang.
Our whole goal is to not give a fuck. Your favorite comedian, when you see him on stage, it looks like he don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that's our goal as comedians. I've gotten better at it because of hosting all the time.
Yeah,
sure.
Doing Chocolate Sundays and Tripping on Tuesdays.
Yeah. And corporate gigs and award, right? I mean, you do a lot of that, right? Can you tell me that's how you meet some of these?
I do. Like, I can't get booked at the Tempe Improv, but I can go do you know, Russell Simmons' birthday party in the Hamptons or some shit like that. Like, I can't get regular gigs.
I might want that one instead.
Yeah, you want to trade? You want to? Yeah, exactly. I got Tempe coming up. You want to do Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
So, in that regard, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And but I've always wanted to do straight club. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done a lot of them, but yeah. I've never been like a year with 3 weeks every month on the road.
Right.
That guy.
Now, why? Like, I mean, you can't just like write a dope part for yourself into like Real House Husbands.
I jump in there. No house.
Yeah.
I jump in every now and then just for you know, SAG insurance.
Yeah.
But I'm currently, you know, I'm out pitching shows, and the next one, the show after the one I'm pitching now will be for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm about to Larry David, Louis C.K., all
good.
This shit.
Yeah, love you're it. Next. Yeah. You should be.
Yeah.
And you bring up Husbands in Hollywood, and my question is, are there people that don't know that's a parody?
Yes.
Are there people that think that's real?
That's the brilliance.
Award show people hit us.
Yeah.
And try to give us best reality show.
Oh.
We're like, this is scripted. No. We see the little battery packs. No, that's all a joke. We're joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, people think it's real. Robin Thicke thought it was real.
That's so funny. they think that it's just a standard. And you know what? That shows you how ridiculous reality television has gotten to where how do you even parody it?
Right.
How do you
like
even...
a joke on a joke.
How... It's like when like comics that are trying to do Donald Trump jokes when they do the accent... They don't have to write new material. They just have to say his. Yeah, they just have to say his actual quote. Like most, I saw. I don't know if you saw the
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yes.
He didn't really say too much that wasn't an actual.
He said the exact same
Trump
speech.
Quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just said the same thing, and then everyone's like, "That's hilarious." It's like, no, that's what he actually fucking said.
He sounded like him too.
Yeah. And that's how the world of reality is. Like, you guys, how do you parody reality television?
Right.
How did that show come together?
You
knew Kevin before that?
So what I was writing, I was head writer for the BET Awards 2012.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Collins, the executive producer, said, we need something different. We have a little bit of time. We have like 5 minutes. Why don't you think something we can shoot? And then Kevin and I started talking. For the award show.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we started talking, and we noticed that we both watched these housewife shows. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you know what? We noticed that men are just as bitchy and catty as these women. So let's do a show about the husbands of these wives.
Just like that.
And so we had, the first one was Nick Cannon, who was with Mariah, yeah. Jermaine Dupri, who was with Janet.
Yeah.
Anthony Anderson, just because he was a great
man. Anthony. Yeah. Yeah.
Nelly, who was with Ashanti. Kevin, and one more. Kevin.
But those
Nick.
Guys.
I think that was it.
Magic, because he was with your high school coach.
Yes, Magic. No, she would have been on. He's famous.
Yeah.
And then we did this sketch, and it went viral.
Yeah.
Like, people were creating fake Facebook pages and Twitter
Holy
accounts.
Holy shit.
And
so then
a petition went out saying, please put this show on the air. If we get 100,000 signatures, maybe Stephen Hill over at BET will put this show on the air.
Wow. Just doing all the work. That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah. So they essentially pitched your show.
They did. And then I had to go back in and go, listen, are you listening to the people? The people love this.
Yeah.
And then the next year, we got picked up, and then we did it with Sam Jackson when he hosted it. And then an even funnier version of it.
Mm-hmm. Dude, what is it like working with Sam Jackson? I mean, you've worked with everybody, but...
That motherfucker is exactly who you see.
I just hope...
Like, you'll be talking to him, and everything is cool. He'll be like, shut the fuck up. We were just friends a minute ago.
In context of what? Like, does he shoot the shit? Like,
he shoots the shit, but it's just his voice and he's laughing. But you mm-hmm. just don't. He's fucking Sam Jackson.
That's amazing.
And he knows it.
I love it.
And you, I mean, did you? So you wrote the stuff for him in the video.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
He loved it. Yeah. It was a group of writers. I can't take all the credit.
Yeah. Yes. Is it? What is the process for an award show before we get to Real Husbands?
So there's always going to be an opening.
Yeah.
And it's usually musical.
Yeah.
So we got together and we paired up. We thought him and Spike Lee would be funny. You guys should take a look at that.
Yeah.
We did Negroes in Paris, Kanye and Jay-Z.
Right.
You know,
but a slightly different word.
Yes. and then we, you know, we gave him a short monologue, and then there's always jokes in between. Usually when he's bringing up, you know, I don't want it to be, I hate when they're too corny.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
This guy's this and this guy's that. Give it up for them.
Yeah.
But there's always a little something and there's a little bit of joking in between. I'm sorry, Brad.
I mean, but like, it seems on the surface that kind of stuff seems simple, but when I look at that from a comedic mind, I go, damn. Like, that award show
And you see it when you read reviews the day after award shows. Other than maybe like Kimmel this year, like everyone gets trashed. Right. No one does it. Right.
Kimmel,
well,
Ellen, Billy Crystal, those are the people that are constantly loved.
Yeah. And that, yeah. I mean, like, I thought Seth MacFarlane did great hosting the Oscars. The next day, all this shit.
You thought he did great?
Yeah, I thought he did good. Okay. I mean, but, and then, like, it just, it seems like almost an impossible thing.
It's the toughest job in the world.
Because you have to, like, be sort of middle of the road and not too offensive, and you can't crack too hard on the celebrities because they're fragile egos. Yes. Like, my favorite instance of this was Chris Rock did that. Chris Rock did that monologue where he made fun of Jude Law. Jude Law, and it was a great monologue. Yeah. I fucking love that monologue. And then Sean Penn comes up, the bitch, and then walks up and goes, "Well, to answer our host's question, Jude Law is one of our finest actors." Fuck you, Sean Penn. Can't take a damn joke.
Yeah.
It's
going to happen in every award show, though, right? There's somebody that just doesn't. I mean, the ESPYs, I know that, like, and I want to know how you toe that line, because they'll cut the shots of athletes a lot. Somebody was telling me once that Ken Griffey Jr. was in the audience, and they were trying to sour him in my eyes because he's my, you know, childhood hero. And they were like, man, he can't take a joke. They cut to him, and he was not having it. And like, what a fucking bitch, man. Griffey sucks. He's probably on roids. I'm like, all right, man, take it easy.
Yeah. Now, I remember one year when Jamie Foxx was hosting.
Yeah.
And then they cut out all these jokes. Like, we couldn't do all these Kobe jokes. We couldn't do Brett Favre jokes. And it was just like.
Who makes that call to?
The producers.
Ugh.
The producers. Yeah. Well, because they want them.
They want to get invited to the Favre party.
Yeah. They want them to come back, and they want them to continue doing things for their network.
It's like, Brett promised me free pairs of Wrangler jeans. I can't make fun of him to his face.
But it's like, as a comic, you're like, wait, you can't. We can't talk about these scandals, which are what everyone is talking about right now.
Yeah, that's sad.
And like that's the line you got to toe as a writer for these award shows.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. I got so much respect for guys like you, for guys like David Wilde does a lot of them.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's. I mean, I don't think you run in the same circles. Okay. Yeah,
you post pictures of Oprah and Will. He posts pictures of like me and Brad.
So. Yeah,
that time.
Yeah, he's
big. Wait, so you knew Jamie before? So you did a season on Living Color.
I did a couple episodes on Living Color, but I was, you know, me and Sean Wayans were great friends.
Holy shit!
But Jamie and I kind of when Jamie got to L.A., we were in the little itty bitty club together.
Yeah,
and he was special then.
You just know.
Yeah, he was like, "I'm not going after Jamie. Jamie's up next. I'm out."
You knew. Well, because he'd be singing and stuff too, right?
Yeah. No, not so much singing. He had real jokes.
Awesome.
Not so much singing, but he could impersonate anybody too.
Oh, cool.
So he had real jokes and it was cheating.
So when you saw him do Ray, you're like, yeah, that's what I've known about him
all this
forever.
Time. Yeah, that was nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Because, yeah. Like, he's a guy that, it's funny, like, he'll do these performances and he'll do these live stuff on award shows or SNL, and he'll be really funny. And I catch myself forgetting. I'm like, all right, he's a stand-up.
Listen, if you're under 35, you don't even know Jamie Foxx is a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm under 40. They're like,
I'm 32. I totally forget.
He's had like 5 comedy specials. He's done The Living Color.
Yeah.
He's had a sitcom. I was on the sitcom.
Oh, nice.
Jamie, yeah. So, but
was that one of your first acting gigs?
No. I've been around.
I think
I was on a Love Boat.
No shit.
No, I'm joking.
Okay. I would have believed it. What was one of your first like
audition stories?
Yeah. Or yeah.
Well, you know, I used to have a late night talk show.
Yep.
Yep.
And you mentioned Sinbad, that's who replaced me in 97. But I've been acting since, you know, I did commercials as a, I did a commercial when I was 5 years old.
5?
Yeah, for Tough Stuff Toys for Mattel.
What?
Yeah.
How'd they even find you?
Yeah, I found them. You know, it was a little, you know, you get little 8x10s. My mom took me on auditions and.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have speaking lines in that commercial?
Yep.
Norm, can you see if you can find that and send me the link if you can?
If you can find that. Mattel Tough Stuff Toys.
Oh, Tough Stuff Toys.
Yeah, I have the actual VHS tape.
Of course.
At home.
What did you do in it? Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, if you find
you play with the toy, you lost your shit. You held the toy up to the camera, fucking jerked off to it on camera.
But it's so funny hearing how deep my voice was.
Oh, right at 5.
Really? At 5? Yeah, Tough Stuff Toys, man.
That was it.
Really? Good impression?
I thought you just played it.
Yeah.
Accessories are included on this motherfucker.
No, the only thing I used to hate about auditions was when you would go and you think you ripped it and then you never hear anything. And then you go sometimes and you F up and then they call you back and you go, Or how about when you go and you hear the dude in the room, you go, this dude is awful. And then the shit comes out and you go, that motherfucker got it.
That's just a prime example of you don't know.
You just
You can't walk out trying to size it up or assess it.
David Allegra told me a long time ago, if they're praising you as you leave, you didn't get it.
And
they're like, oh my, you are so incredible. Where'd you, Juilliard? Jesus Christ.
Da-da-da. Extra okay. questions, yeah.
Thank you. God, you are. Oh, you're incredible. He's like, nope. Just tear the shit up and throw it in the trash.
And you know what? I love SNL people, and the majority of people that say that like they got laughs during their audition, they didn't get it. Yeah, they don't get it. All the ones that like walk out going like, Lauren didn't laugh, Tina was there, she didn't laugh, like nobody laughed in the room, and I thought it was it. Then they got it. Because, really? And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's someone looking at someone going like, Like, and now they're wondering all the ways they can use them if they're killing it. Did you have an acting gig where like your first big acting gig where you thought like, okay, here we go?
When Showtime first started doing scripted series, mm-hmm. I did a scripted series for Claudia Lano. You remember Claudia?
Yeah.
Claudia Mark's daughter. And I was a regular on that, and I'm like, I made it. Then the shit got canceled, and then I realized I didn't make it.
You need those lessons early, though, right?
You need those lessons early, yes. That's where unemployment comes in handy.
And you've always had just like a go-get-em attitude, like, all right, if that shit didn't work out, yes. I got to just
like
get
joke.
Back.
Just like a joke. Just like on stage, a joke don't work, you don't fucking crumble. You go, I got another joke coming for you. Mm-hmm. So I always just had to I knew I wasn't going to ever go sit in an office and work for somebody.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to grad school. I wasn't going to law school. I wasn't going to med school. I was going to be doing something in entertainment. Something.
Mm-hmm. Watching
Fluffer.
You-
whatever.
Hey. Well, hey, if Sully had said that, then damn.
We Fluff.
It's the name of the company.
We be Fluffing.
Yeah, don't try to hide what you do.
We be Fluffing.
Watching you run shit, remember when I did a little spot on Real Husbands and I played Russell Simmons' agent?
Yep, that
and
was
It was dope because it was, you know, it was just a few lines, but then you and Kev were like, yo, improvise because Kevin's going to come over and pitch a project to Russell.
And I know you could do it.
Yeah, it was dope. And just to like be sitting there with all, I mean, it was, and also like the vibe of the set was, you could tell why you guys were having so much fun and everything because it was super loose, but everybody was like professional and coming in with rewrites and this and that. And then watching you and Kev work together was like, oh yeah, this is why the show is great. Like you guys are just locked in. And then I remember too, I was sitting there and there's a lot of downtime and like, even when I was doing the heat with Melissa and Sandra, I was sitting there in between takes and I'm like, all right, how much should you interact with these people when there's downtime? But if you're sitting there at a table, it's more awkward for me just to sit there.
Yep.
And you seem weak if you don't try to strike up a conversation.
Right.
And thankfully they were all about it. But I remember Russell sitting there at one point, I think he was wearing a hat and he had to get out kind of quick, right? He had some yoga class,
always.
I think. And he was like, yo, I got
has a yoga class.
I think he literally sat down and was like, you know, I got to be out at 6:05. And he was like, it's 5:58. And he was like, all right, so we'll be done in 4 minutes, right? Or whatever it was. And
while he was talking, he was in downward facing dog.
Just getting ready. And then so in my head, I'm like, all right, strike up a conversation. Like, just break a little ice. And I'm going to look over to you. I think he was wearing an NBA hat. I go, Russell, man. I go, so you a big Hoops fan? And he goes, yep. And then it just silence. And I go, hell yeah, man. I go, we can talk about this later.
Yeah.
Well, he was down on his phone, too, and I was like, I just kind of read it. But he gave me a little smirk when I said that, kind of acknowledging, like, all right, man, like, not now's not the time. But but he was dope and funny in the scene.
Yeah, he was.
Do you prefer to be in a writer's room or by yourself writing stand-up?
Right, our writer's room is so incredible. Like, if you guys get a chance next year, just come hang out in the writer's room.
Oh, yeah.
It's so, I mean, we have half of the room is half comics.
No shit.
Yeah, we just talk shit and then.
Yeah. Is it like you talk shit for 4 hours, then like the last.
We go, oh, we should
hour.
Write something.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the room, that's the one problem because I have ADD and then the head writer has ADD and all the other writers. The showrunner has ADD. So we all. You know, if somebody pulls out a video, did you see what happened last night? Fuck, dude. It's an hour away that we didn't write any scripts.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like that's kind of a good way to segue into some, right? Like, I'm sure enough shooting
the
shit.
But sometimes it's like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I also want to ask you because I'm fascinated with anyone that's done Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah.
Like, because that, to me, those audiences.
Yeah.
Were,
it's like the most fun of all time.
Yeah. I did it, but you know what?
If you
I cheated.
Do well.
I can't even. I did it
you
when
did
it came
Saget's material.
I did it when it came out.
Saget killed him, Def Comedy Jam.
I did it when it came to L.A., so I never got to do the real New York Def Jam.
You know? Yeah.
Although it was still Def Jam, but I didn't get to do the original, you know, when it was in its heyday.
But like, much like much like Showtime or the Apollo, I feel like that audience is a character. Like, it's part of the show. You yeah. can't have you can't call it Def Jam if the audience isn't brutal yeah. in how they dislike but also like.
I should try to find that. I had a bad set. I got married the day before.
The day before?
Yep. And then I didn't even have any clothes. I had to like scrape something together. I got to find that set.
How are you? Like, do you get your wedding date before?
Wedding date was before, and then the only time I could do Def Jam was either the day of my wedding,
yeah.
or the next day. So I was like, I'll be ready next day, and I was still thinking wedding.
Oh well, yeah, because you probably were.
No, I did it the day before I got married.
Oh, the day before you
it was
got married,
even worse.
Because now that's the only thing on your mind.
Yes,
you're just stressing about the next day.
Yes.
Fuck. Oh my god.
Yeah.
When you brought that to your fiance now wife, would she like do it, or was she like was she supportive, or was she like don't do that the day before our wedding?
I don't think she knows. It's a blur, really. That whole weekend was a blur. I bombed.
I bet.
I didn't bomb, but it was just like it was nice set.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
A nice set in front of all of Compton. You know what I mean? So, and then the next day we got married. And it was literally a blur.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think so? How do you write your stand up? Do you write a lot on stage? You seem
I write
like
on
you're
on stage.
You think
I try to be structured and write stuff down, but then I'm on stage going, my head is going, what line is that? And I'll write stuff after so I can remember, and I record now and listen to
yeah.
it. But like, there's people who go on the road and they're on the road every day so they can remember stuff. Like, tomorrow night, I'm gonna remember I did this
yeah,
last night.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have to jot stuff down, or if something comes to me, I jot it down.
Yeah, because I mean, you seem like a guy that kind of can live in both worlds. Because
yeah.
you're a writer; that's what
right.
you do. You can put pen to paper, but
right.
then also you kind of have to be in the moment. And then if an idea strikes you, or
yes.
you have to allow yourself to try things, even
yeah.
if,
like I was talking to Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
He was
dude
Scalco. I've said his name. Yeah. I interviewed him the other day. I said his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, I watched that at town hall, dude. That was great.
The motherfucker didn't correct me one time. Somebody called me later, dude. It's Maniscalco. I was like, no, it ain't.
Because if it was, he wouldn't have smiled and nodded at me.
For 10 years that I've known him or whatever, I've been calling him Maniscalco, and he's never corrected me. You saw it?
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was, you know, you should do another talk show, dude. You're great at that shit.
Thank you, man.
I mean, so you're a good conversationalist, which is why I think your ease on stage, it's like you can just kind of like have your subjects and talk about them, right?
Right.
Because also your point of view is so honed at this point. Are you going to write another book, you think? I want to read, by the way, what, 150 Ways to Tell If You're Ghetto?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
That was me, Sean Wayans, and Sully. From me being on the road with Jeff Foxworthy. I was like, yo, you might be a redneck if. I think me and my friends could write You Might Be Ghetto If.
How'd it do?
It did great. It was a bestseller.
Fuck up, yeah. dude.
You might be
incredible.
Our first best-selling author
you
on
are.
The damn podcast.
Wow, dude.
I want my picture on the wall.
Yeah,
it's done, dude.
I'll make a new poster.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like, and
how do you write a book? How do you even start to sit down and...
We sat down and we just started, you know, we're three comics. Imagine us in a room right now and start thinking of the most ghetto shit. And then just, you might be ghetto if your fingernails are longer than your fingers. You might be ghetto if... That was one of them, for real. This is so old. This is how old it is. You know you're ghetto if you take the battery out the smoke detector to put in your pager. You know you're ghetto if...
Those are great, though.
I can't remember.
And
40 ounce in the church. That was the cover.
The one thing I like about it is even if you're North Orange County like
yes.
myself, like you can read that and still...
Just like the redneck stuff was relatable.
Yeah.
The ghetto stuff was relatable.
Yeah.
They were very similar. That's what I noticed when I was reading Jeff's book. I'm like, wow, we poke holes in the bologna when we fry it, too. This is some black shit.
You know what? Because I think that would help a lot of race relations.
Right.
If people just sat down and went like, oh, wait, you got to do that shit?
Yep.
We do that shit. Like,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Cut him down.
Yeah, like they would just realize that the shared experiences growing up are not that different.
Right.
Wait, yo, you were in Blank Man and
yep.
The Sixth Man?
Yep.
Those are two of my favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah. Sixth Man was filmed
yes.
mostly in Seattle.
Yep.
I was an extra at UW.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Oh, that's right. You were on the team.
Yes.
Dude, this is crazy.
Wow.
I'm just now realizing. That was no joke. I mean, I put it in my top 20.
Sixth Man was fun. We went to
Unbelievable.
Canada. We went to Canada. Oh, my God. Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great city.
They had never seen us before.
Oh, really?
Oh,
like, they had like some Caribbean brothers up there, some Africans, but 10, 6 foot. Two and up black Americans. I think we
what
fucked everybody in Vancouver. It was so bad. We had to go. People were like, look, we're going out tonight. I can't. It was too much. We were like rare pandas to all these little white girls.
Just had your picks.
It was sad. It was I gotta go home.
At some point where you're like, this is too easy.
I was like, I think I died and went to the wrong heaven. Yeah, it was like a Twilight Zone episode. Picture, if you will, 10 black basketball players that love white women. We're going to send them to Vancouver, and they're going to have as many white women as they want.
Oh, man.
But will they want as many as they can have?
Just the embarrassment of riches.
What do you love about doing movies? Versus
location, per diem, just...
And you were with your friend. I mean, you knew Sean. You knew Damon and Blakeman.
I knew Marlon. I knew Kadeem.
Yeah.
The rest of the team was all real basketball players. Lorenzo Orr played at USC.
Yeah.
Travis Ford played at Kentucky.
Yeah.
So we had like legitimate real basketball players. So.
And you play, so would you have real games and shit?
Oh my God. Listen.
You're making a movie
when
just
said
hooping
cut,
it up.
And while they were changing sets, motherfuckers was going at it.
Love that.
The team, UW, those dudes played with us.
Yeah.
We went to Canada, Simon Fraser, whatever one of those schools was. Wow. It was incredible.
Were you ever, because we've had Jaleel White on the podcast.
He's a baller.
And he's told us stories.
Family Matter stories about playing. Were you ever there, like on the Warner's lot when like Jordan was doing Space Jam?
Listen. When they tore down the pyramid in Long Beach, they brought the floor to the Warner lot, and we used to play every day. I have never played this good in my life. Like, I was playing so well with Jordan, I could have got a 10-day tryout.
Damn.
And all I was saying is, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be BJ Armstrong. I'm going to sit in the fucking corner.
Great call.
Let Jordan kick it to me. I made every fucking shot. You would have thought, and then Jordan would kick us off when the pros came. He'd be like, all right, you little sag.
That's what Jaleel would say. He said, like, even if like Sean Bradley showed up, he'd be like, yo, Damon, get the fuck out of here.
So every now and then, they'd be like, we need one. And then you get to play with Grant Hill. It was Grant Hill, Tracy Murray. I remember this shit was incredible. Oh,
so you received a chest pass from Jordan and made a jump
shot.
Dude,
I swear to God, one time I was playing. I came down to court. I threw a pass to Jordan as he cut. He made a layup. The next play, he threw me the exact same pass. When Jordan throws you the ball, you won't miss. It was like Space Jam. It was like I would shoot the ball and glitter would come off the motherfucker. Boom, on that. I swear to God, I didn't miss.
Dude, you should be coming up to the fucking that as your credit. This guy got a chest pass from Jordan. Yeah. He hit up for Chris Spencer. Yeah.
That shit was great.
That's unbelievable.
I play golf with him every summer now.
Fuck.
He's golf? The biggest shit talker you've ever met.
Yes. Like I've the Gary Payton of golf?
Oh, worse.
No.
Worse?
Worse, dude.
Gary Payton is the Michael Jordan. Like that.
He don't give a fuck.
And
how so? Like pre-golf?
Pre-golf. He's talking shit like, you're playing today? You're not playing with us. Go play with them. We go play, and we play about – there's about 30 guys that play. And then – so they break us into groups. Jordan – you're supposed to play in a foursome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's Michael Jordan, so he plays in a ninesome sometimes. So nine dudes, all pros, and they're gambling for big money. So I'm at the little kids' table watching them – I'm waving them off as they go fucking play. And these dudes are all great. They hit it down the middle. They land on two, and it just depends who's going to birdie or who's going to par.
And is he as competitive as all the legends?
What? He's fucking as competitive. He's more competitive than anybody you know.
Amazing.
And means it.
Listen,
like,
the motherfucker has dollar bets and $10,000 bets. He just likes to fucking bet. Chris, we got our same bet, $100. Cool. Mike, we got our same bet, $100,000. Cool.
Damn. And he'll compete just as hard with your bet.
Motherfucker,
as
where's my $100?
Wow.
Like, motherfucker, what about the $100,000? No, he's writing a check right now. Or I owe him. Whatever. It means that much. He likes to win.
So he challenged a little fat kid in one-on-one for like an Xbox.
He's going to block the motherfucking shot. Get your fat ass out of here. Yeah, he's a winner.
Damn.
Well, dude, that's why
he's got six rings.
Yeah, you don't do that and then soften up afterwards. No. Once you establish that winning attitude.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Kobe too. I played my wife, cast Entourage.
What?
So one time we've had
Doug and Jerry on here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was supposed to play a referee in the episode.
That's amazing.
And so Kobe was hurt. Mm-hmm. So this motherfucker played me. We played. We shot from half court.
Yeah.
This motherfucker had. This is when he had tore his ankle or whatever, Achilles, whatever. So this motherfucker said, "All right, the first time we played, and he beat me. We played horse. My left hand to your right hand." This motherfucker is shooting left hand jumpers from half court.
What?
All his misses were hitting the rim and spinning. My shit, the depth perception from the seats. So I was throwing this shit like a shot putter. It was so goddamn hard. And I'd be like, look out, lady! And then we played my two shots to his one shot, and he still beat me.
Damn, fuck.
Mind you, he's hobbling on one foot.
Yeah. left-handed.
Yeah, the first time was left-handed. The second time was right-handed. He didn't miss right-handed.
Do you think it's even fair to have that comparison conversation of Kobe versus Jordan?
Yeah, no.
Different eras,
know.
Right?
It's different eras. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? Kobe gets the bad rap because of his post off the court rap. Yeah, so nobody's ever gonna compare him equally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jordan was in McDonald's commercials with Bird and Barkley. Then Kobe, like that's you're looking at that.
Right. People, you know, the snitching.
Maybe if Kobe had done like Air Bud 17, you know,
bingo.
And then like Space Jam, Air Bud, they're both great. Right. They're both,
like
you know,
that.
He was more of a to himself guy as opposed to Jordan being a team guy.
Yeah. Right. You know? And
they
also
really don't compare him properly.
Yeah. And also Kobe came up in the social media era where we know everything.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
You're always on.
Yeah.
Whereas Jordan. Not same him personally,
right.
But like that's an era where what we saw was just what you wanted us to see,
right?
Just what was on the court,
enough.
What was in an interview,
just enough,
and that's it.
Yeah.
Tell me why you love golf and why I should get it. My dad's trying to get me to golf so hard, and I know a lot of comics that do it.
I just
and
played today.
When you and I went to when I got to do La Jolla with you and
Cedric,
no, big dude though. You were headlining. He was middling.
Buddy Lewis.
Yes, that was the best. That was also the best because I so looked up to you and you were like so dope, you know? And it's like one of those things when I was like, yeah, man, you were just like cool. And it was, and you gave me advice on tips on jokes. I mean, you guys were staying in a hotel. I stayed at the condo by myself, but it was,
I've never stayed in a comedy condo.
You told me that too. I remember I was like, cause in my head, I was like, man, I'm going to stay at the condo with Chris Spencer and kick it. And I get there and I was like, hey man, when are you guys coming over? He's like, man, I got a fucking hotel, man. I'm not going to say
the W, motherfucker. Yeah.
And I was like, dude, and now, like, when I go down the headline, like, that's why. I mean, because I stayed there at the condo so many times, and it's like, you got to treat yourself. But you guys would golf so much down there. And I was always like, man, comics do that. And it seems like such a great bonder and also a.
Your boy, Carlos, golfs.
Yeah,
he does. It's 4 hours, no wife, 5 hours, no kids. It's just splendiferous. Sometimes you get a shot that just makes you come back. I can't play hoop no more.
You can't.
Torn ACL, torn Achilles, not Achilles, ACL, MCL, quadricep tendon.
Fuck.
Damn. Back hurts.
You got like
fat,
a,
you know.
Robo leg.
Yes. So
you can't do it, but golf.
You're setting up alley oops.
Your dad plays?
Yeah. Still, he's 72.
Wow.
And he just wants to play. I'm on dad when I can stop. I mean, I broke my, shattered my ankle playing hoops, but now it's all surgeried up and I'm back. I still play. I play with Jerry and it's just like, I told my dad, I go, when I stop playing basketball, which I should, like even Chris D'Elia after I broke it, he goes, hey bro, are you getting paid? What the fuck are you doing?
So
like, you know, like what do you,
just like him.
Yeah, well, and I was like, of course that's D'Elia though.
I was like, dude, I love it. I wanted to go pro when I was, you know, a kid and then I stopped growing and I was, you know, I shot the three and then when I peaked at 6'5" and I didn't have the ball handling skills that you need at that height, then it was right. Like, all right, I guess I'll play Danny Zuko in Greece. Yeah, dude, it seems like, I mean, what do you think the best, like when you would do the road like Foxworthy and stuff, like what would you guys, how would you kick it? Or would you?
Did we kick it? I don't know. Jeff is kind of to himself. Damon was funner on the road.
Yeah.
Because Damon liked to shop. I liked to shop.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
It was funny to watch Damon shop because we would go to these stores and he didn't try shit on. He just grabbed shit. I go, you know, try it on. He goes, it fits. If it don't, I'll take it back. I'm like, oh.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
And you like to take your time, huh?
It was always funny when we went to go eat, too. Like, I told him, you know, anything with a drive through, I'm paying. Anything we sit down, you're paying.
Good for you.
Damon was the best. Like you said, you life lessons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You also probably gained so much on those hangouts, like doing golf, right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you probably knew Will, but when I think you showed me, remember my mom was in town.
Yes.
And you showed me on Instagram, it was a picture of you and Obama, I think, and Oprah. Or maybe it was Obama golfing. You and Obama and Will Smith.
Right.
And my mom is just
me, Obama, Ray Allen, and Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah, dude. And my mom, you know, she's
how
very privy too.
Happen?
She's like, my mom was a picture. She goes, is that Alonzo Mourning?
Yeah, how did she fucking know Alonzo?
She fucking loses
her mind. She passed the president and Ray. Yeah. Is that Alonzo Mourning? I'm like, how do you know Alonzo?
She knew Zoe over Obama?
Oh, yeah, dude. She's really.
Wow.
But I mean, those type of hangs too, you get just from, if you play golf, it's then it's an immediate.
Yeah. I mean, if you looked at everybody from Michael Jordan to Bo Jackson, Marcus Allen, Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, they all play.
They're all golfers.
They all play.
Wait, when you met Oprah, that picture was from you did a.
That was the Image Awards. I was writing on the Image Awards.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
does she.
Yeah.
What's that? Does she just glow?
Glow. She called her Glopra.
Why didn't she come out with that type of glowing lotion?
Why did she not have a nightlight called the Glopra? Oh, my God.
Glopra lotion?
There's no more room in her bank for her money.
Yeah. She just got so much of it.
She got so much money. Yeah.
Man. But even you who have met and hung out with anyone and everyone. When you meet someone like Oprah, is that at all intimidating?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not intimidating, but you're like, huh, Oprah.
Yeah, but then when they say to you, like, man, you're funny, then it's like.
That's the best. So let me tell you about the president.
Please.
So.
Can we do about 10 more minutes? You good?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
The story's going to be 8.
All right, good.
I'll shorten it. So
Luke,
I.
Let it go. Let it go.
Am in Maine. With some family friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're the only black people on this island.
I was about to say.
Yes. We saw one person. We both were like this to each other. Shh. So then as we're driving, we're saying, listen, we're going to go to New York to visit my wife's family.
Yeah.
So I put on Instagram a picture of me and my family in front of a place called Dark Harbor.
Okay.
This little ice cream place called Dark
sounds
Harbor.
Sounds like a Steven Seagal movie.
Exactly. I said, Dark Harbor just got a little darker with the Spencer's thing. So Ray Allen's wife, who's friends of ours, says, listen, you're driving up to New York. You got to stop in Connecticut. We're in Martha's Vineyard. We'll meet you back in Connecticut. We're like, okay, cool. So we get to Connecticut. We meet them. And I go, what are you guys doing? He goes, well, we're chilling. But, you know, Ray has just been playing golf with the president all week. And he had to come home because, you know, the president got mad he was coming home. The president was like, so Ray, what are you doing? He goes, I got to go home and help, you know, the kids start school tomorrow. And he's like, well, can't Shannon do that? He's like, I guess so. Yeah, you drop them off and come back tomorrow. So I got to go back to Martha's Vineyard. I said, oh, we do?
Yeah, dude.
Well, fuck, I said, honey, enjoy New York.
Yeah.
Jumping in the truck, driving to Martha's Vineyard to play with Ray. So we go to Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
How is Martha's Vineyard? Dope.
Oh, my God. It's Fantasy Island.
Fuck. Yeah.
So we go to Martha's Vineyard, and we didn't have nowhere to stay. Ray had a hotel. I didn't have nowhere to stay. I didn't give a fuck. I'm going to find somewhere to stay.
Right.
There's got to be a Martha's Vineyard YMCA. Something.
Come so stay at the there. Martha's Vineyard Motel 6.
So yeah. We get there, and the president's first cousin is Valerie Jarrett. She he had a place to stay. He said, listen, you can have this little room. It was an itty-bitty room. I felt like a Cub Scout. There was like a fucking bunk bed. I was like, there's got to be something else.
Yeah.
So I'm calling hotels. And then Ray stayed at this huge house the prior week, and he had left something there. So we go by there to go pick up some stuff he left, and he talks to the guy. The guy's like, yeah, you can stay here for free. 6-bedroom fucking Cape Cod,
damn,
whatever mansion. So we stay there. Boom, we head to the golf course. We get to the driving range. The fucking president's right there. I'm like, and I met him before because my friend used to produce Christmas in Washington
and
the Kennedy Center Honors. So we would go there, but it was a quick handshake. Hi, pleased to meet you. Great. Yeah. Boom. Get the
he
fuck does, out the
but
way.
He, but he knows he's good at it, right? He gives you eye contact, gives you a moment.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. You feel like you could talk to him forever, and then the security goes, psst. He does it to everybody. Go.
Like, no. We were going to talk about fucking Space Jam.
No,
so boom, we go. I play in it's Ray.
Wait,
the guy
did
Cyrus.
You have to be vetted, though? Like, doesn't Secret Service know that you have to be?
They must have looked at my old papers from the White House when I went to Christmas in Washington. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
right.
I was in. So
okay.
So it's Ray, Alonzo, Cyrus, who's the cousin, and the president playing. They play the first day. I'm playing with the aides.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest motherfuckers. I'm good friends with one of them right now. We still talk. Every
what?
Day. Every once a week. Once a month. Okay, once a year. I think we're close.
We're Facebook friends.
Yes.
Whatever.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. I've seen them once since then.
Yeah.
So the next day, I go, listen, Ray, I need to play in the foursome with you guys. He goes, we have 4. I go, he's the fucking president. We can play with 12.
Yeah.
He goes, I said, sorry, you know, I'm going to figure it out. So then I'm playing the next day, and I'm playing like shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I don't feel like playing. I'm watching. It's like I'm dancing with the fat lady, and the cute chick is on the other fucking fairway. I'm like, I want to fuck her. So I quit at the 9th hole. I go, you know, I'm going to rest and wait for them to come back in.
Yeah.
When I go to quit, Cyrus, the Valerie Jarrett's cousin, is like, oh, Chris, I'm not feeling good. I said, what's wrong? He's like, I got food poisoning. Go play with the president. I'm like, burr, 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 burr. Oh, shit.
Done.
I fucking put my bags back on the cart, race to him. He's like, hey, Chris, welcome. I go, sir, I just went from coach on Southwest to first class on Air Force One in a matter of 17 seconds. So then we play.
Oh, shit.
He goes, all right, Chris, I'll see you later tonight, right? I go, absolutely. I look at Ray. What the fuck is he talking about? They have a fucking party.
Oh, man.
Okay.
At
the vineyard. I'm thinking it's going to be in some big ass mansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this itty bitty house. I swear to God, we're in a room. How big is this room? 800 square feet?
Probably.
We're in a room, 800 square feet. Me, the president, his wife, and all their friends and the kids. Security is all outside. It's a fucking little itty bitty house party. It reminds you of the fucking house party in the beginning of Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Hit him in the ding ding. So I'm sitting there, and The first thing, Michelle Obama's talking, right? And I'm listening to her talk in awe. And then she mentions Harold Washington. Mm-hmm. I go, I'm sorry, Harold Washington. Harold Washington. And I go, I'm sorry, Mrs. Obama, Barack Obama, Michelle Johnson. I was listen, you said Harold Washington. And the first thing I think of is Eddie Murphy's joke. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be President Jesse.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, fuck Harold Washington. I go, oh. No, she didn't cuss. I'm sorry. I said F Harold Washington.
Yeah.
But she knew the rest of the joke.
Okay. Shut the fuck up.
So I'm joking around with her.
Yeah.
Then she's quoting Raw.
Delirious.
Delirious. Yeah.
So, I think it was Comedian the Album. No, one of them.
Anyway, all right. Yeah.
She's quoting Eddie Murphy.
She knows Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And, so then I'm sitting down and then we all start, he goes, all right, time to go. He talks like how he talks. He talks in sound bites.
Is that, can you get over that or is
Let's go watch some fireworks. Aren't we all having a great time? So we go out, we watch fireworks. I'm fucking trying to take pictures and videos of them, but it's dark. I'm like, shit. Right. I'm pretending like I'm taking pictures of the fireworks. I'm trying to sneak them in the shot.
He's like, Chris, get a picture of me to lighten this piccolo peak. You're like, I got Roman candles.
We go inside, and he goes, all right, time to dance. Chris, help me with this table. Me and the fucking president are moving tables and chairs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's dance. Now they're fucking, everybody's dancing. This motherfucker can fucking really dance, and I'm dancing next to him and shit. And I'm like, So then I sit down and I watch him and his daughter dance and I'm like, wow, this is fucking incredible. Yeah. And while I'm watching, I go to the bathroom to wash my face because this shit is so surreal.
Right, you gotta
I'm sitting down and I'm looking for him. Where the fuck did he go? And he turns up and sits right next to me. So, Chris, how long have you been doing comedy? Hi, sir. We start talking about comedy. We start talking about nutrition, family. We didn't really talk about any politics. So it was just like a regular conversation.
Yeah.
He grew up out, he went to school in Occidental. So we talked about Tommy Burgers, how he can't eat those anymore because he would fuck, all of us would get sick.
Right.
And then Michelle came over and I took her to show them a picture of my kids and family. And it was surreal.
Just so normal.
Regular. Yeah. And then, he loves Ray Allen. And Ray Allen's like, I don't understand why he loves me so much. I go, motherfucker.
Dude.
Don't complain about it.
Have you seen any of your tapes?
I said, motherfucker, he's only been famous for 7 years.
Yeah.
You've been famous for 20-something years. So when he was in some little itty-bitty apartment trying to keep that YMCA open, eating cold Chinese food, your ass was in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
Dude, you were in the finals. So he loves basketball, and you're fucking Ray Allen. He's like, oh, yeah, that's possible. Yeah. But yeah, motherfucker.
Ray just doesn't, he just.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
I said, the motherfucker just became famous Thursday.
Wow. Dude, that is
He's the coolest dude. He's so cool that you'll I cussed a couple times and had to catch myself.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Like one time I was like, nigga, sir, you crazy.
So you didn't pull the Larry Wilmore and actually call him the word.
No. But it was, you have respect, but you're like that. You're at that much at ease.
Well, because I'm sure, and
he goes out of his way to put you at ease, too.
Yeah, and sounds like he's just a great dude, and you're hanging out. And then was there ever a moment where someone came and told him something, and he had to go, or did that ever happen? No,
he told them early. I'm playing golf with Chris.
Yeah,
don't fuck with me. That's the mandate.
That's a soundbite you need to get. By the way,
you should have saw the fucking security on the golf course.
Oh, I can only imagine.
There's people.
Is it better than Dave and Buster's security?
Wait, there's two more guards. There's dudes driving around in carts with their finger already on the trigger.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around.
That's scary, by the way.
Listen, if he sneezed, it would be, ha-choo.
Yeah,
this motherfucker's in the helicopter.
If he hits a good shot and you aggressively high-five him too hard, that could be the last thing you ever do.
You joke, but I mean, are they on that high of alert? Are you not supposed to touch them?
Listen. I hit a ball in the bushes. I'm looking for the bushes. A motherfucker popped out and goes, it's right over there, and kept walking. I was like, oh, where'd you come from?
Covered in bush.
They're flanking. Yeah. There's 10 dudes flanking in front, 10 in the back. There's people in carts.
Yeah.
This is the fucking president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he makes you forget that because he's so dope.
He's so cool. He's dressed regular. There's no flashy gold, except he has the dopest golf bag you've ever seen.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
I would hope.
Yeah. And he can fucking play.
Yeah.
Were people calling him nicknames or what did you call him? Mr. President?
I don't know. Sir?
You didn't call him B.O., did you?
Massa? I don't remember. Something like that.
Massa.
Boss?
By the way, I love that you're friends with Ray Allen because, when my Supersonics, rest in peace, were there.
Can you imagine?
He was there long
Baker.
Enough.
Baker.
Come on, dude. Vin and Ray.
Fucking Sean Kemp, right?
Dude, come on. It was Kemp and Peyton. Then it was, Derek
Ray
McKee,
Kemp,
Sam
Ray
Parkins.
Ray and Kemp never played together, though, right?
No, unfortunately not.
Ray and Gary never played together.
We traded Gary for Ray, because that was Gary. Once Howard Schultz the Starbucks guy took the team and then came down to the floor and wanted to like make basketball decisions. And Gary was like, the fuck, dude, you make coffee. Go make coffee. We'll take care of hoops. And then George Karl split. And then Peyton was like, you know what? Fuck it. Things are different. I'm out. Trade me. And then we sent him to Milwaukee and got Ray at a three-way deal. And
Gary, that, no, Gary went to Miami.
Boston. Well, he went to Miami eventually, but he went to Milwaukee first in a three-way. Or he went to Boston and Ray came to us.
Did Gary ever play for the Celtics?
Yeah, for real quick, briefly.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. But Ray was, I mean, like, he was an amazing Celtic, but people sleep on what he did in Seattle.
Oh,
I
mean, he's a playoff three-point record. People think he's a great shooter. Go watch fucking him in a fucking Seattle. That motherfucker used to bang on people.
Dude, he would throw leaning, down.
Boom, jump on the fucking dotted leg spread, jumping on people. Yeah,
love it. That's amazing.
Do you hoop with him?
We shot around one. That motherfucker is Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Quickest release, I think, in the history of the world.
That is butter.
It's
people are Jesus Shuttlesworth.
It's so amazing when you see, and I'm talking a lot of sports, whether it be golf, baseball, basketball, like the difference between you on a hot streak in your backyard and then a pro, someone that gets paid to do this.
Like when you hear a pro hit a golf ball,
yeah,
you've never hit a golf ball like that.
Ever. It's never sounded like that. Your swing's never been that smooth.
No.
Never. Yeah.
Does the national anthem play when Obama hits like a really sweet shot? Like,
I think I heard One Nation Under Groove. I'm not sure if I heard the national anthem.
Yeah. That is unbelievable. That's one of the best stories ever.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Thank you, man.
Nobody has that story, by the way. Isn't that like
I should have more money. My story should match my wallet. My stories are way richer than my wallet. My stories are worth billions, but I'm a multi-thousandaire.
Put them down on a book. No? Do an audio book, dude.
Possible.
Come on, man.
Let's talk.
Got to.
Yeah. I'll produce that shit for you.
That podcast has to happen. Chris's stories.
I mean,
that has to happen. Because I know the people that you've hung out with, and we haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, the Obama story is great, but I know. Hell, I saw a photo on your Instagram that was you, Eddie Murphy, Chris Tucker, and Dave Chappelle all in the same photo.
Let me tell you what happened that night.
Please do.
So, fucking BET is looking for a host for for Comic View. Remember Comic View?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I go, let me show you how dope I am, motherfucking BET. Bam, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Chappelle, boom, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Rock. I'm like saying, and now you guys don't want me to fucking be the host?
Mm-hmm.
And I brought all of them to the, who was it? It was Chris Tucker.
I saw a photo with Chris, Eddie, and Dave, and you.
Yeah, yeah. That was that night. And they still didn't hire me.
What? Why?
I said, motherfucker, I'll bring these people to the network.
Yeah. Nothing?
Me, no, nothing.
Oh my God.
I'm not big enough.
Crazy show. Yeah. And that was just a night, Eddie, like, Chris and Dave went up, and Eddie was just hanging.
Eddie hasn't been up in I don't know how long.
He's not gonna, is he?
I don't know.
I mean, Neil Brennan told me him and Dave were at his place once trying to convince him, and Dave was pestering him about doing it because he was like, yo, or maybe it was Neil saying it, like, he's, you know, he was his hero, and he never got to see him live. And so he's like, you got to do it for that reason, but also, and then he said that Eddie told him he's got 25 years. Imagine having just 25 years stacked up of shit, and like, he looks at it, and it's just so daunting to try to squeeze an hour out of that. Like, where does he start? But
anywhere.
Exactly. Also, and then to that you say, and then you're Eddie Murphy, right. So you fucking just do it, and it'll be great. Everybody
wants
it.
This is so fucked up, because as soon as he walks in the room, everybody's fucking cameras and phones are out, so he'll never be able to work out like he used
to. He can't, like, and that's the thing that he can't do nowadays that he could back in the, like,
right. And if he bombs, he doesn't have it anymore, and, you know.
Yeah, one person, some shitty website will post it, but we're so dumb we don't fact check. We'll see, like, jambajuice.com says Eddie Murphy doesn't have it anymore. It's online. It must be real. They gave me some negative reviews on my album.
There's really a joke. No. Oh, I was about to fucking say.
Well,
it's been amazing.
If there's anything you can do to get into Eddie's ear to get him to come back,
I bet.
But dude, this is some amazing stories.
And, dude, thanks for finally. This is.
Listen, you know, I'm so sorry. I mean, he's been asking for a year.
Yeah,
or
but
two.
Dude, this is how it happens. And also, you're kind of busy, man.
Yeah, I said. Yeah. I just told him. I was like, Monday, I'm coming.
Yeah, I love.
Yeah.
I even had a fight on the way here with my wife. You're going where? I said. I told you earlier. I can't flake.
Fuck, man.
It's okay. You'll see when you get married.
You're the best.
Sometimes you gotta put your foot down. Sometimes you gotta give in. Right, Norm?
See, he's a real person.
Yes. So that you guys know there is another person here.
Yeah.
Well, next year you'll come back.
Absolutely.
And because I mean, it's, you know, marriage, kids. I want to talk about all that stuff too.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah, we in all of it.
You want my social media? I'm trying to.
Yeah, we do an intro, but you can pimp all it out.
Okay, whatever you want me to do.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Chris Spencer. You can find me on Twitter at the Chris Spencer and on Instagram the real Chris Spencer, because there's another dude who took the Chris Spencer, and I'm looking for him.
Hey, that guy hadn't played golf with Obama, so
yeah,
fuck him.
Yeah, give me my shit.
What if it was Obama?
Then I'm sorry, sir.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.